Back together again, you and I chatting it up Monday style, brand new week, August the 17th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. We took a look at the possibility of returning that controversial statue of Christopher Columbus to Seaside Park in Bridgeport, the idea of which is already rekindling some local tensions. We're also joined by Southington GOP State Senate member Rob Sampson, who explained a complicated situation he was made aware of regarding law enforcement and the state's controversial Trust Act.
You know, I didn't think this was coming back here. Here's a story that I didn't think we'd hear about again. And we're hearing about it now pretty consistently. I don't think that anything's going to happen here, but you never know. Brian Lockhart's story, we were talking about this, I think, some parts last week as well. Can Bridgeport find common ground on returning the Columbus statue to Seaside Park? So once again, the question in the headline here, and hi, how are you? It's Paul here, your buddy, your old pal on Connecticut Today. Can Bridgeport find common ground on returning Columbus statue to Seaside Park? You want the short answer or the long answer? I'll give you the long answer and the short answer. No. How's that for you? Opponents and supporters begin talks over the divisive monument. And of course, you know, 6 years ago, right in the aftermath of George Floyd and his tragic death. Listen, whatever you think about Mr. Floyd's personal life, his police record, whatever, nobody should die with a cop's knee on his neck for 9 minutes and how many seconds. But having said that, everybody suddenly, for some reason, turned their focus on Christopher Columbus, and I understand that. Listen, history is a little greasy, a little grimy, a little dirty. We understand that. But you know, when you think about the Columbus statue and the fact that it's trying to be reinstated to Seaside Park again, and listen, good luck to everybody trying to do that, but something about the opponents of Columbus and the Columbus statue and Columbus Day, and it's now Indigenous Peoples Day and this day and that day and Native American Day or whatever. You know, some of the critics here, and I understand they do have some valid points here, but some of the critics act as if Christopher, everything is Columbus's fault. Oh, my God. Do you people realize in the minds of some of these people that if Christopher Columbus never showed up, oh, not one Native American would have ever died. Not one Native American would have ever suffered any sort of sickness or disease or bacterial or viral infection or parasitic infection. Because, of course, if Christopher Columbus hadn't have come here, nobody would have. The United States today would not have existed. Because, of course, it was all Christopher Columbus's fault. You see the point here I'm bringing up at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. The whole argument against this, while valid in a freedom of speech part of thinking, is ridiculous when you think of the real world. Well, you know, Columbus did this and he did that and enslaved people. And I'm not saying he was pure as the driven snow. I'm not. But some of these people, and listen, I respect anybody's ability to disagree with something or say that we shouldn't honor somebody. But could we please stop? At least give me the satisfaction here of stopping the notion here that everything that's wrong with America and North America and every bit of disease and everything else here is Columbus's fault. If he didn't come and do this, somebody else would have. Well, why are we honoring him, Paul? Because another thing people don't understand is when you say things about Columbus to some Italians, not all, But there's probably, with the exception of St. Patrick's Day, there's probably, or St. Patrick, there's probably no other person in history who is tied up to an ethnicity as Christopher Columbus is. Now, do I care if the statue goes up there again? Frankly, no. I'm not going to lose sleep whether or not the Columbus statue goes up there or it doesn't. But what I do think is a little, what I do point out here is a little bit of the short-sightedness of people telling Italians who they should honor and who they should look at as a hero. Well, you know, Columbus wasn't a nice guy. All right, what about the Prophet Muhammad? How many, and freedom of religion, how many Muslims idolized the Prophet Muhammad? What was his history like? And the history of, you know, the Ottoman Empire and all that. You remember those days? I mean, can you drink in the hypocrisy there? That for some reason, pretty much all the guns here, no pun intended here, have been turned on people who say, hey, could we put this statue somewhere? And, you know, frankly, shame on some of our civic leaders who, you know, they're just worried about police overtime and this, that, and the other. So listen, the short answer and the long answer are both no on this. Can Bridgeport find common ground on returning the Columbus statue to Seaside Park? No, it's not going to happen. And I'm not besmirching anybody or belittling anybody that's going to try. But in this metro, in this city here, in this time, the return of the Christopher Columbus statue, which is a point of pride for many Italians, was Columbus a perfect guy? No, far from it. My point is, who was back then? And do you think if some reason, if Columbus didn't come here, nothing would have changed? You wouldn't have seen any of the darker side of humanity? You're only seeing it because it was Columbus? Come on, stop that. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. So we start on this, and it's already, when I put this up, it's already picking up quite a bit of buzz here is our question of the day. Should a statue of Christopher Columbus that was removed 6 years ago be returned to Bridgeport Seaside Park? You tell me. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. So for some reason, and it's a story today by our buddy, our pal, Brian Lockhart, friend of the program. He's been out with us a few times. Regarding putting the Columbus statue back up, that's never going back up. Not that I wouldn't mind seeing it going back up, but it's never going back up. Do you think anybody on the Parks Commissioner or the Mayor's Office wants to see that go back up? Come on, what are you kidding me? Please, come back to us. Exist in the present atmosphere. Now, again, here's my point. My point is you can oppose that all you want. But stop with this notion that because you think Columbus did what he did, or we verified he did what he did, that it would have never happened. You know what? You know, different people, different ethnic groups, different, you know, parts of society. You know, sometimes the people that we honor are not pure as the driven snow. And you're talking about something that was 600-700 years ago. 600 and change, whatever, quick math in my head. But no, it's never going back up. But you know what? Sometimes you get an attitude here. This Sharon Piper, the clan mother, tribal head leader of the Golden Hill Pawgussets, okay. While willing to participate in discussions on the matter and how to best honor Italian and Native Americans at Seaside, she emphasized, when it comes to Columbus, I just think it's time to move on. Oh, you do? Oh, okay. I love when non-Italians try to say, well, there's a different way we can honor Italians. Really? Really? That makes me laugh. We kick it off with, this mouse, Paul. You see the first 10 minutes with the three mouses in front of me. Eric in Norwalk is here. Eric, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I'm good, Eric. What's on your mind? What's up, buddy?
Well, I was chilling on the wire waiting to talk about Flock, but you raised actually another kind of topic. We always deviate in this capacity.
Well, that's it.
I can speak as an Italian-American third generation.
Yep.
There's a certain idolatry that comes with Christopher Columbus mm-hmm. that you have to kind of go back to the history of when that started.
Yep.
And that was basically in 1892,
mm-hmm.
following the mass lynching.
Lynching.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
So, and we also got to, again, I'm Italian. This is a conflicting situation for me because historically and sort of sentimentally, it is the only national holiday for Italian Americans.
Yes.
And I'm dealing with, first generation and second generation elders that really sought to assimilate in America. So Columbus was sort of their carrot, if you will.
No, you're right. And they take this. Some people in those generations do, Eric, not everybody, but some people take this as an insult to Italians. Yeah.
100%. I'm in Norwalk. I'm pretty connected with a lot of the Italian community here, and they do. But I recognize that it's coming from the sentimental attachment to the events, like chilling with your 1,000 cousins and whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not particularly the sort of icon that they were given at that time, because Amerigo Vespucci just sounds too Italian. So
yeah.
Christopher Columbus.
that fits
with the whitewashing of Italians at that point in time.
Yeah.
Like, don't forget. My grandfather came here. They were living in Harlem. They were chilling with, Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday. So that was the context at the time. Unfortunately, it's carrying over to our time. So I would say leave the statue where it lays, and I would say let's look to other Italian figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one in specific that I think will actually cover both the indigenous and sort of, more progressive nature of it.
Who's that?
Giuseppe Garibaldi.
Oh, that's right. Garibaldi, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At least he lived in America for at least 3 years when he was on the lam in, Staten Island.
Yeah.
I never understood why there was a statue in, Washington Square Park growing up until, I got some history. I'm like, oh, all right, that totally makes sense. And he came here and he made, candles. It wasn't like he was, a glorious revolutionary hero at that time. But he was very crucial in the liberation of many of, the South American countries during their sort of nationalistic movements. And obviously, he's one of the reasons why we have a unified Italy, which actually goes right back to Columbus. To call him an Italian American.
There you go, Eric.
There was no Italy at that point in time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No. Eric, listen, this is all good stuff, Eric, and I appreciate it. And thank you, sir, for the connection there too. The people that are angry that Columbus is honored, or there are people that, why would you root for that guy? Well, like Eric said, you don't understand. See, a lot of people don't get it as to why Columbus Day, for the most part, was made a holiday, because you had a group lynching of Italians in New Orleans in 18-whatever. And the federal government, under whomever was the president at that time, said, we are sorry. And we are going to give you a holiday. And if it's okay with you, we'll honor Christopher Columbus. So when people, and again, I find it hard sometimes to excuse the inability to read history, but this is why it bothers Italians so much, is that you are taking away a day in many locales or de-emphasizing something that was given to Italians and Italian Americans as a way to say to all of you, these lynchings were ugly, and we, in the most sincerity we have as the U.S. government, we are sorry. Rob Sampson joins us, Republican State Senate member, District 16, Cheshire, Prospect, Southington, Wolcott, and Waterbury. Rob, good afternoon, sir. Always great to have you. How are you?
It is my pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
So did somebody, Rob, tip you off to this Kew Bridge accident that I read a summary of before the break there and before you dialed in here? The state police come upon a woman with a crash in the median. Relatives come there. They find out that one had a removal order. All three were allegedly illegal. How'd you find out about this?
Yes, I was tipped off. I don't want to mention any specific individuals,
nope,
but
nope.
I can tell you that there are numerous folks in and around local and state law enforcement that themselves are unhappy with the laws passed in the state of Connecticut that manifest themselves as making us a super sanctuary state and effectively allowing people conducting criminal behavior on a day-to-day basis to go unpunished. And so they're trying to help me make a political argument for why this needs to change. And I'm very happy that I get an occasional tip on some information that is useful.
You know, Rob, on the factor of, well, if you hear one, there's got to be so many. I would imagine, Rob, that there are a lot of people, men and women, local police, state police, in whatever level here in the state, that whose heads must be exploding. And kudos to the people or the person that tipped you off there. Because, Rob, I don't care what party you are. To have an accident on a major thoroughfare about the as the Q Bridge, to find out that you have three illegals there, one with a removal order, you must, as a law enforcement person, say to yourself, are these people like what am I doing here? Like, what universe is this, you know?
Right. Again, I don't want to speak for any specific law enforcement officers or globally that they all share this opinion, but I'd say that it's not uncommon to have the feeling that they're wasting their time, that it is completely counterproductive and counterintuitive to why they went into law enforcement to begin with, to have policies that effectively derail them from their ability to actually prosecute offenders, maintain the public safety, and so forth. It's got to be unbelievably frustrating, and that's the sense I get when I hear from people. But the sad part, Paul, is that most of the time this goes unreported, undocumented. You know, I've made a habit of when I see, a motor vehicle accident, particularly if there's a fatality, you know, I follow up, or I have somebody in my office follow up to see if there's any more details about the participants in the accident. And it's not because I'm trying to necessarily go after illegal aliens like they're all responsible for every vehicular homicide or anything. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes they are. And when that's the case, you have to recognize that that accident wouldn't have occurred if that person was not in the country. And so that goes for any crimes that are committed by people that shouldn't be here.
It is kind of remarkable, not Rob Sampson, that the majority party in Hartford, when you have a situation like yours that you were tipped off to, or you have this tragedy where this illegal who was high and drunk and speeding in Danbury kills a Bridgeport cop and his girlfriend, she now leaves three children without a mother. It's kind of interesting how the Democratic leadership, Rob, they get very quiet all of a sudden. They don't talk a lot about this, do they?
No, not at all. I mean, they want to focus on the misgivings of a few random incidents that happen far across the country. You know, you have hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens, maybe millions of illegal aliens in the country, and you have a lot of ICE agents, operating in country to remove the people that shouldn't be here. It's just natural that there's going to be some mistakes made or some incidents which are not as delightful as we'd want them to be, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But to turn that into this entire saga that the majority wants to paint, that somehow ICE agents are operating under an authoritarian president and they're focused on black and brown people, that's all just garbage. That is all just manufactured nonsense. The fact of the matter is that ICE agents and local and state police are doing their job to keep people safe. If they make a mistake and they do something wrong, they should be held to account. I'm the first person to say so. But to paint them with a broad brush is fundamentally wrong. And to hide the fact that there are crimes and people suffering as victims from those crimes from people that are in the country illegally is completely dishonest. And I want the truth out, which is why I like to make sure that the other side of the story is being told.
Now, according to this Inside Investigator story, the governor's office was saying, well, Rob, personnel changes, it's tough to get back to you. Have they gotten back to you on this yet, Rob, or not?
I checked my email just before coming on the air, Paul, and I have not yet received a response from either the governor's office or the commissioner of public safety. I did ask them some rather complex and detailed questions, which are laid out in that article.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame them for wanting to take the time to make sure that they answer those questions fully and correctly. But I agree, they probably could have gotten on it a little sooner.
From a legislative point of view and bandying about and debating things like the Trust Act with your colleagues across the aisle there, what is the, I don't even know how to put this. What is the end goal here? Is it just to have as many people in the state as possible for the upcoming census? I don't quite understand the notion, and this is my word, not yours. I'm not putting this on you. But the notion to, or the degree, Rob, to which the majority sometimes genuflects on this issue and doesn't take a pragmatic approach on this and continuously weakens the position of law enforcement. Where is that coming from? Do you ever just stop and think about that in these long, long debates about this or not?
I certainly do. And if I was giving you the most thorough answer I could, Paul, I would say that the vast majority of rank and file elected Democrats in the Connecticut legislature simply do not know. I think that they are confused about exactly where they're supposed to stand on this stuff. Mm-hmm. They know they're supposed to be opposed to President Trump. They know they're supposed to stand in solidarity with anybody who represents a minority community. Some of them that come from urban districts want to show solidarity with people with a criminal background, for crying out loud. So you have all of these things that are interconnected. Now, when they go out and speak publicly, they try and turn it into something other than what is actually happening. And let me tell you just what is happening, which is that they are actively making policies to protect violent criminals. That is what is actually happening. Now, they can say whatever they want, but they're actually doing that. Worse than the Trust Act, possibly, Paul, they passed a law to change the penalty for one-year misdemeanors from 365 days, which is a year, to 364 days.
Yep.
And you'd have to scratch your head and ask yourself why they would do that. And then it came to me. I realized that the reason why they were doing that is because the one-year penalty is the threshold by which the federal government determines whether or not someone's committed an act worthy of deportation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That is not protecting people in the country illegally or people that are here trying to abide by our rules or get a green card. Those are criminals. Those are criminals, and they're actively protecting them.
Rob Sampson, Rob, 16th District, Connecticut State Republican Senator. Rob, thanks. We'll keep an eye on this. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Rob Sampson there.